The title that I'm going to preach about this afternoon is Wait. And wait, yeah, if we take a look at the dictionary, it says it's a inactive, to remain inactive or to be in a state of repose, basically meaning that nothing, and you're waiting for something to happen. We all know that if we've got to wait, it's quite terrible. If you've got to wait in the waiting room for the dentist, there are two pictures over there. I don't know if it's the receiver of revenue at the top over there or if it's the dentist. I don't know what, but waiting, we don't like it. It doesn't fit in our society. The one at the right bottom over there, it's traffic, to wait in the traffic. Yesterday, people in England waited, I think it was 10 hours, 12 hours to get out of England, because the French people were checking their cars and checking everything, so they had to wait. And they were expecting something which was going to happen. And that's a negative thing, what we've got. The opposite of wait is actually we want to have it now and we want to have it directly. And we all know that the world what we're living in at the moment, it's we want to have it directly. It must immediately happen. We do not want to wait. We do not want to wait anything longer. I can give you a few examples of that. If we take, for instance, food, and if I'm correct, and ladies, you must help me over there. If you take macaroni, it takes something like 8 or 10 minutes to boil, noodles, spaghetti, those type of things. But we've got 2-minute noodles, so that's going faster because we want to have it now. We do not want to wait for anything like that. It's the same with advertisement. They say, fly now, pay later. We do not want to wait till we've got all the money together. The problem what we've got in the world, that the world is in debt at the moment, is a problem as the people do not want to wait till they've got enough money, but they want to have it now for something what they're going to earn in the future. So that is the opposite of wait. We want to have it now, and we want to have it directly. We know exactly the same is happening with, if we take a look at outside in the world, what is happening with sex. The man and the wife want to have sex before they are getting married. They do not want to wait till they are married. They want to have it now, because this is what the society is telling us. We want to have it immediately. I also have had a few times that I had to wait. The first example what I want to give is I had to wait for my wife, Renee. Because when I asked my father-in-law if I could get married to her, he said, yes, you can get engaged, but you're not getting married. You must come back a second time. So I had to wait. I had to wait till the time was right that I could come, that I could ask a second time. And then he said, yes, we can get married. And we're still married. The second example what I want to give is it was on our birthday and we went to a place in which is called Katwijk aan Zee. It's not that far away from over here. And it was a place which opened the doors of they changed ownership something like 2 weeks ago or two weeks before that. And we came in, we ordered something to drink which was immediately delivered and we also placed an order for food. And then we waited and we waited and we waited. And after approximately 3/4 hour, because the time came close that we had to leave, because there was another appointment with Renee had, I went inside and I said, is that food coming? And then the lady where I placed the order with, she had a look at me, and then she had a look at another lady. And then the other lady said, yes, well, I gave the order through to the kitchen, but somewhere the order was lost. So we waited for something which was not coming, because somewhere in the line, there was a problem over there. And the other wait, what I want to explain, is the wait for God. Sometimes we are also waiting for God, and we also had to wait for God. When we were planning to come over here, which is a little bit more than a year back now then, we knew we had to come to the eastern part of Utrecht. We had to look for something, for a place where we could stay. But we were not quite sure when we could start looking for it. So we asked the Lord, can we start looking for a house? And the Lord said to us, wait. So we waited. But then time is just coming closer and closer and closer. Till at a certain time the Lord said, yes, we can have a look. And then we had a look. And then we found a place. And fortunately we had some angels, local angels over here. And they had a look on our behalf. And they said, yes, you can put a bed over there. It's fine. So we moved in over there. So there we were also waiting for the Lord. We didn't want to make our own decision. We wanted to hear from the Lord. When is it when we can look for the place? And waiting for the Lord is, yeah, it is something which I think all of us are doing. If I'm going to ask you now and say, okay, is there something where you're waiting for the Lord? Then you most probably can give me an answer. There's maybe a family member where you're praying for who is going to get saved. There's maybe something what you're looking for. It could be that you're looking for a child, a grandchild. It could maybe that you're looking for a husband or a wife. It could maybe that you're waiting for a promotion. It could maybe waiting for a salary increase, which hopefully is going to go through now. It could be that you're waiting for something. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do now, to just sit two together, and then just share with each other in two or three sentences. If there's something in your life where you are waiting on the Lord for at the moment, which is on your heart, where you're praying for, just share it quickly, just two with each other. Right. The last sentence. And then if we are waiting on the Lord, we must probably are in a hurry. But God is not in a hurry. He's never too late. He's always on time. And God is always exactly on time. Because if we didn't have to wait for God, if God was giving to us exactly where we were asking for, it would have been a big mess. Because then we would be spoiled children. Jan Willem knows it as well. If the child is asking for something, you do not directly just give. There's certain reasons why you do not at certain times give things, because it's not good. And that is what's happening then. I want to take two verses. The one is coming out of Psalm 27:14, which says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And that waiting over there is you're waiting with an expectation. You're waiting for something. And in the word waiter, there's also a waiting, because the waiter is looking at you and waiting for instructions of what food you want to have on your table. The next one is one which is coming out of Acts, out of the New Testament then, where it says, "And being assembled together with them, he," which is Jesus, "commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" And that waiting over there is that they stayed around. They were waiting for it. But in both occasions, they were waiting with an expectation. They knew something was coming, and this is where they were. Why they were waiting. Now, if there's somebody who knows a little bit about waiting, then it is David. If we take a look at Psalms, if you go onto whatever program you've got and you punch in wait, then you will see in the Psalms you get so many waits over there. And I just took a few out of them. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all day." So there he says, all day then. And he says in Psalm 33, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our helper and he is our shield." Psalm 14, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." Psalm 59, "I will wait for you, O you, his strength, for God is my defense." Psalm 62, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation." And Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his hope of in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yeah, more than those who watch for the morning. So David really knew what it meant, waiting for the Lord. And we will get to a psalm just now from David, and we will understand that a little bit better then. If we're waiting for the Lord, then there are two elements, of there are a few elements in there, and one of it is a time element. Because if we are going to ask something from the Lord, what the Lord has promised us, and we're waiting for it, but we're going to go our own way, then we're going to make a big mess of it. An example over there is with Abraham and Sarah. There was a promise which was given that they were going to get a child, but they were waiting, and then at a certain time they said, okay, we waited long enough. And then Sarah said, but why don't you take my servant, Hagar? And then she got pregnant, and she got a child. So if we're not waiting on the Lord, but if we're going our own way, we can have a lot of family problems over there. And there are two ways of waiting, because it's actually two types of waiting. You've got one person who actually doesn't want to wait. He's got his wish list. He's got the things what he wants to have. He waits a little bit, and he says, oh, I'm not getting it, turns around and walks away. It's a very nice sentence what I picked up over there. The guy says, the passive person has got a lot of wishbone, but not much backbone. So he's got a lot of things where he's wishing for, but he hasn't got a backbone. He's not stable. He's not strong. He's not waiting. He's very easy that he says, okay, turning around and leaving it. That is the passive person, because the passive person is not doing it, something. But then you've got the other person, and that is an expectant person. And that is a person who's got hope. He believes that the answer is just around the corner, that it's going to arrive any minute, and he's waiting for it. He's full of expectations, and that is the other type of person what we get when we're talking about waiting. If we're waiting on the Lord, then there are two elements over there. The first element is that we've got to be totally dependent on the Lord. If we're going to think that we can do it ourselves, then we're basically not waiting. Then we're doing it our own way. We've got to wait totally with hope and with trusting in God's character. We've got to depend on the Lord. And it's also that we must be prepared to wait for the Lord, and that we must accept his decision, how long it's going to take and when it's going to come. Because for the Lord, it always comes at the perfect time. The Lord is not a second too late, and the Lord is not a second too early. I've taken Psalm 37, and I just want to go through it, and I just want to have a look and say, okay, but what is actually happening if we are waiting? Because if we're waiting, it's not passive. We're not sitting and doing nothing. We are actually busy. But what are we actually doing? And Psalm 37, I found, had quite a few words in there, which is explaining a little bit what is happening if we are waiting. The first one, it says over there, do not fret about the evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity. So don't look at the other people around it, and don't compare yourself with the other people around it. It's not necessary. So when we are also going to wait, then we've got to focus on the Lord. Do not look horizontal, but look vertical. For they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. If we trust in the Lord, then we're putting our efforts onto the Lord. Then we're putting our effort of we're putting our trust in the Lord. We totally put our trust in him. So everything what we've got, we trust the Lord that it would is going to happen. If he made a promise, that the promise is going to realize when it's going to be, but we put our trust in the Lord. And then he also says, and do good, which means that we're not going to be passive, that we're not going to do nothing. We're still going to carry on doing good when we are waiting. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So you continuously get that message from the Lord that he's faithful, and that is feeding you, that's giving you energy, that's giving you power. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. We've got to be excited when we are busy with the Lord, when we are waiting for him, when we are looking at what he is telling us, excited of what he is going to give us. And he shall give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. We're not listening to other things. We're not listening to other people. We're not listening to what people are telling us on the TV what to do or reading it. But what we're doing is we are committing our way to the Lord. trust also in him. We already spoke about the word trust. And he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your decision, your righteousness as the light and your justice as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now to wait patiently for him, yes, it is that we're waiting for him. But like I said, with all the other words, it's not a passive waiting. It's an active waiting because we're continuously trusting in the Lord. We're looking for his faithfulness. We are delighting ourselves and we are resting in the Lord. And resting in the Lord is basically putting your faith on the Lord. If we take a rest chair, then we are trusting that the chair is going to carry us. And it's the same what we're doing when we trust the Lord, when we rest in the Lord. We're putting all the trust, we put it in the Lord. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. It's actually a duplication of that first verse. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. So we shouldn't get angry. When we're waiting for something, we shouldn't get angry. This is was one of my biggest problems. I always had a time schedule with something, which means that if I plan to leave at 2 o'clock and it's coming close to 2 o'clock and Renee and the kids are not ready, I'm getting irritated because we have got to leave at 2 o'clock. We've got an appointment at 3, whatever, and then I'm getting angry. But it's unnecessary to get angry because I'm not gaining anything with it. I'm just losing something with it. I'm losing my temper. So we've got to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Wrath is not for us. Wrath is for God. He will take revenge when it is necessary. It's not for us to take revenge. It's not for us to take wrath. And then again, he's duplicating it again. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall cut off. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. And the earth is meaning then the new heaven and the new earth. What we're going to inherit if we wait on the Lord. So if we take a look at the word wait, then the wait is not passive, it's active. We've seen in all the verses before that what is actually included in that word wait. And there's a lot of things which is included in it. What is happening if we are waiting? If we are waiting, then there's a change which is coming inside ourselves. And that change, and it's an awesome verse, Isaiah 40, 31, where it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." If we take a look at it, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." It's not a single renewing. It's a continuous renewing. So continuously, when we are waiting on the Lord, we're getting renewed. It's like putting in petrol in a car. Continuously we're putting petrol in a car and continuously we can carry on because we get a renewal. It's not just one new engine what they put in, but it's each and every time putting petrol in, that engine can run. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles." An eagle is an awesome bird. The eagle flies high above. It's got very good eyes, can see whatever is going on. And that is exactly happening with us as well. If we're going to wait, if we run into a situation, then we are part of the situation. Then we cannot have an objective view of what is actually happening in the situation. But if we wait, then we're going to mount up with wings like eagles. "They shall run and not be weary." We can do a lot of things then if we are waiting. If we're waiting for the correct thing, if we're waiting on the Lord, and we're not going to run weary, we will have enough energy. "And they shall walk and not faint." We can walk continuously with the Lord. We can walk continuously with Jesus. We're not going to faint. That's the promise what we get out of here, out of Isaiah. "But those who wait on the Lord, we're going to get strength. We're going to get renewal. We're going to get, like eagles, we can see what is actually happening below us," and so on. And then there's another awesome thing which is also happening, and it's in Romans 8:25, and that's perseverance. "But if we hope for what we've not seen, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." And that's what's happening if we are waiting. We also get a perseverance. We're not getting a little bit lazy and say, "Okay, it didn't happen, so we leave it." But we carry on and we carry on and we carry on because we can do it. And when we wait, we're stopping and trusting our own strength in our own will, in our own power. We are waiting upon the Lord to exchange our weakness for His strength. So there's going to be a change. If we wait on the Lord, and if we do all those things, what I just now said in Psalm 37, then there's going to be a change. From our weakness, we're going to get His strength, the strength from the Lord. The next thing what's also happening with waiting is praying. And praying and waiting are closely related to each other. It's like two hands coming together and going into prayer. Because waiting is not there that... Waiting is not where we should be most at ease, but where we shall be most efficient as a witness for Christ. So if we're going to wait, then it's going to change. It's not going to be for us convenience, but it's going to be for what does the Lord want us to do? What are we going to do for Him? What is necessary, what He wants to do for us? Angus Buchan is a farmer in South Africa, and he's doing a lot of Mighty Men. I think it is next month he's also going to London to do a Mighty Men over there. And he's got a saying which says, waiting for the Lord is seeking Him diligently, to seek His face. And diligently means that you are, yeah, you're thoroughly, and you're putting a lot of time in it, and you're doing it well. You're just quickly running over it and a little bit lazy and shoddy. No, you're really focusing on it. And this is what we've got to do. If we're waiting for the Lord, when we seek the Lord diligently and we seek His face. Jesus also told His disciples to wait, and we just now read that verse, and we can read it again. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promises of the Father, which He said, you've heard it from Me. So now the disciples got the instruction to wait. But what are they doing when they are waiting? Are they just sitting and turning their fingers around and having a cup of coffee and chatting about the weather? Take a look at what they're doing over there. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. Those were roughly 120 people. And it is expected that those 70 people, which Jesus sent out the first time, that those 70 people were part of those 120 people. So it's not just the disciples. Jesus spoke to His disciples and said, go, wait for Him. But all of the others, they were all waiting together. And then also if you read again in 14, it says, these all continued with one accord. So they were in one court. There was one unity about it. They were praying. They were waiting. Because they were waiting for what the Lord has promised over there. Then we've got that word supplication. What actually does it mean? And supplication is actually that we are humbling ourselves. That we are saying we are submitting our mind to God's will. We're not making our own will the most important thing, but we make God's will the most important. Let me just think of an example. Okay, let's say I'm going to ask the Lord, I need a vehicle for the ministry, but I think a Mercedes, a red Mercedes convertible for this time of the year with this weather is going to be the perfect car. And I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, Lord, please come through, send me a red Mercedes. I need that one. Okay, model number is not exactly critical, but it must be Mercedes, must be red, and must be convertible. Please come through, please come through, please come through. If I'm praying, and if I'm spending time with the Lord, and if I'm finding out what the Lord's will is, then I'll most probably with certain time that red Mercedes is going to change. Because I will find out it's not actually going to work. Because if I've got to pick up a few pastors from the airport over there, that Mercedes is not going to be very effective over there. If it hasn't got a tow bar, we can't get any trailer. So my mind is steadily going to change. And at the final end, I must probably land up with a car where I can put in some luggage, where I can put in some people, and that's the effective one. So that happens when I'm praying. Then I'm going to be an effective prayer, and it's going to change. And that is what's happening when I'm doing that, praying with supplication. Supplication also means that you're petitioning the Lord. If the Lord has made a certain promise, then you can go back to the Lord and you can say, Lord, but you made that promise to me, and I'm petitioning you on that promise, and I'm asking you again, please let that promise come through. You've made that promise to us. So what is actually happening is, if we are praying in supplication, it changes us. we are following God's way and it's not our way anymore. The Jewish people have been waiting for their Savior, their Messiah, for quite a long time. It's quite a few years between Malachi and Matthew. And they've been praying and praying. And they've been waiting. They've been waiting. And when the Savior arrived, they were very disappointed because they didn't get what they actually were looking for. They thought of a king on a horse, which was going to be with a mighty army and which was going to chase all the Romans away. This is what they expected. But this wasn't actually good for them. Some people understood it, that it is not about the outside, but it's about the inside. And I think one of those weights, which is the best one in the Bible, example that we've got on weight, is the one waiting for the Holy Spirit. Because then if we read then in Acts 2, verses 2 to 4, that one is not on the slides. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was a promise which Jesus gave to them. They waited for it, but they were not passive. They started praying, and they prayed together in unity. And then it came. And then the Holy Spirit was released, was put on their heads with the flames. So waiting is not passive. And part of the waiting is praying. And praying is very, very important. And if we're praying, then it's not our will. Like I just now explained that example of the Mercedes. In praying, we find out actually what is God's will. And that's where we're waiting for. I want to finish off with something which we're going to do practical. And what I want to use for that is a prayer which Daniel has been praying. Daniel was praying because he knew that God made a promise that they were going to come back again out of Babylon. And he was praying for that. And that's the first part of Daniel. But we're only going to use the last part of Daniel, where Daniel is going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, you've promised us. And we're waiting for it, that it's going to happen. And I want to link that one to the promise which the Lord has given us for Utrecht over here. The Lord has given us a promise. Because me and Renee didn't come just to have a holiday over here or to spend some time over here. The Lord has said we must go, we must start an English-speaking church over here. A promise has been made to us. But we cannot on our own be the church. We need other people as well. Because the church you want to have, that it's growing and that you're also going to reach the unbelievers. Because that is the whole idea, that you get the message to unbelievers, to get people from other churches. Now, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for unbelievers. And this is what I'm asking for, that we're going to do this afternoon. I've printed out that prayer. I'm going to ask you to take that part of prayer, to take it along, and to put it somewhere in your purse, put it maybe not on your computer screen, because then half of it will be covered, but put it somewhere where you're going to see it during the day. And it is going to remind you again that you're going to pray, and that you're going to pray, because he's talking about the city Jerusalem. I would like you to pray for the city Utrecht. That we're praying for the unbelievers in Utrecht, that they're going to be reached. If they're going to be reached through Shofar Church, if they're going to be reached through another church, it doesn't matter. But that they're going to be reached, because this is where it is going about. It's about God's kingdom, that unbelievers are going to be reached. Because time is getting less, and each and every day which has gone past, it's each and every day is one day less what people can come and find the Lord. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant. This is then Daniel speaking. And his supplication, and again we've got a supplication which he's got over there. For the Father's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations. And the city Utrecht, which is called by your name, for which we do not present our supplication before you, because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. There's nothing what we can do to earn God's favor for Utrecht over here. It's just his mercies. That's all that we can go back to and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the mercies. And then he says, O Lord, hear. So we're asking the Lord that he's going to hear us. Oh Lord, forgive. Because that's critical. The first part of his prayer, and if you've got time, you can read it at home. The first part of it is going about repenting. He's repenting on behalf of what they've done wrong. And then he's asking that the Lord will have favor for the city of Utrecht. Then he says, Lord, listen and act. So then he's asking the Lord, please act. Please do what we're waiting for. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city Utrecht. And your people are called by your name. So this is what I'm going to pray for. Of this is what I'm going to ask you. Eunice is going to give you a piece of paper. She's going to give you a pen as well. The pen you can take home. And then what I'm going to do you to ask you now as well is the one person where you shared just now with of where you're waiting for the Lord. Go back to the same person and write at the back the thing down what you're waiting the Lord for. So this week when you're going to pray, you're going to pray for two things. I'm asking you to pray for the unbelievers in Utrecht that we can come to the Lord in prayer and supplication because we are waiting for the Lord, that he's going to come through, that we're going to see those changes. And then the other thing is, this is where you're waiting for, that you give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm waiting for that. I'm praying for that. And continuously you're seeking his face. Continuously you're finding out what is God's will. And we trust that those things are going to happen, that we're going to see change. So I'm just going to finish off with a prayer. That I'm going to ask to sit to the next person again, to the same person again where you've been sitting in the beginning of the sermon. And just pray together for Utrecht. And then pray for your place, for the part what you've said, what you would like to be prayed for, where you're waiting for the Lord. Of what is going to happen in your life or with somebody to get saved or whatever the case may be, what I've spoken about early, because it's about unsaved people. This is why we've been put on this earth, that we get the unsaved people in the house of the Lord, building God's church. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that we could listen again this afternoon to you, Lord. And I pray that those words which I've been saying, Lord, that those words... Yeah, it's not from me, Lord, that those words from you, Lord, that the seeds which have been planted this afternoon, Lord, that those seeds are going to prosper, Lord, that seeds are going to grow, Lord, that there's going to be connection between the people this afternoon over here and you, Lord, that they will come and they will wait, Lord, but that they will wait like a child is waiting for a father, looking then up to the father, looking with expectations, Lord, because we're looking up to you with expectations, Lord, for the things to happen over here, Lord. In the meantime, we wait, Lord, but we're not waiting passively, Lord, but we're waiting with expectation, Lord. We continuously seek your face, and we want to be diligently. We want to do it the correct way, Lord. Thank you that again, Lord, we could speak about it this afternoon, Lord, and that we can learn from you, Lord, that we've got to wait for you. But it's so awesome to wait for you because it's time with you, and there's nothing more pleasure for us, Lord, to have time with you because we're going to have it, we're going to do it for eternity along with you in heaven. Thank you, Father, for this afternoon, and thank you that we can wait for you because it's actually a pleasure to wait for you because you're an awesome God and you want to give us the best. In Jesus' name, amen.